All right, welcome back, everybody, to Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. We are here again, as always. And yeah, we got some stuff to talk about here, and some news on our end of what things that we're doing, things that you can expect. And yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Tobias Powell, joined with your other host, Trent. Trent, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back.
Yep.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah. So do you want to start us off, Trent?
Sure.
What do you got for us? What's your big
for one? I got my blue milk, my Star Wars blue milk, with some brandy in it.
Well, nice.
It's all right. It's pretty good.
Sounds good.
Yep. Actually, it's brandy and rum. Because if you go to Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland or World, you can get alcoholic blue milk, and it has rum in it. They might do. I don't know if they do.
Nice.
Anyways, sorry.
Yeah.
Got my cool blue milk from the grocery store. Star Wars.
That's cool. So, I've not gotten mine yet.
Is that? It's all right. It's not much to write home about.
Yeah, I'm sure. It just tastes like milk.
They add like a vanilla flavor.
Oh, so, okay.
It's like a vanilla.
Interesting.
Blue.
Yeah.
Or vanilla milk with blue food coloring.
Yeah.
That was it. So, anyways.
Nice.
Yeah. As far as news, there's not like a whole lot going on right now. Like, there's not been like a lot of movie trailers released. But, they released the Knuckles TV show. So, like, Sonic. Sonic show.
Did they release all the episodes at once? Yep. Or was it? Is it going to be a weekly thing?
All at once on Paramount Plus. Which is, like, interesting. Like, every streaming service is, like, trying new things. So, like, do you watch the show Cobra Kai? It's the Karate Kid show.
I've never watched it.
I've not watched it either, mostly because I don't have Netflix. I've heard really good things about it. I want to watch it. So they're doing a final season for it, and they're doing something interesting where they're releasing 5 episodes at a time. And it's a 15-episode season, final season. So, like, I think it's going to be, like, I don't know, like, once a month or something. I don't know the length, but it's just interesting that studios are doing different things. So, like Amazon did Fallout, and they released all the Fallout episodes at once. But then then Amazon will do Rings of Power, and they'll release what they did with the first season. They'll probably release it once a week until they finish the season. Disney Plus, they release all pretty much like Secret Invasion or WandaVision. They release one at a time, but then they have something like Echo, which we kind of probably know why they release all at once. But they drop them all the episodes at once.
With streaming services, definitely trying to figure out what's working, what's not.
And the Disney Plus is doing like going back to the cable TV model
where
you can just like watch channels of your shows. Watch a Marvel channel. I don't know how it works. Like, they just release random episodes of shows and they'll have commercials in the middle and between. It's like, whatever. They're trying to figure it out because, I think Netflix is the only streaming service that's been successful and made a profit.
Yeah.
Like they've won the streaming wars. Because every other streaming service is struggling to figure it out. You know, like even Netflix, like they do like Stranger Things. Like the last season, they released every episode at once, except for the last like two or three episodes, and they waited like a month or two, and then they dropped the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Probably to keep subscribers for an extra month or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no, they, yeah, streaming services definitely are not making a profit. They're not.
No.
They're making these companies money, they're losing a lot of money. Yeah, and so
they can't figure it out.
They can't figure out how to.
Yeah,
because they're all competing with one another. Like they can't not do it because all the other companies are doing it.
And what's funny is like you used to like pay for Dish or DirecTV, and you pay like $60-something a month, so you can have all these channels. Yeah. And now it's like you have 6 different streaming services that are about $10 to $15 a month. So you're paying like the same amount of money for what you used to pay, though now you get to like pick your own content. But it's like they keep adding all these streaming services. Every studio is doing it almost.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just hard for people. Like, no one wants to spend that much money to have every single streaming service. I mean, some people do, but Apple TV, Peacock, Max, Disney, Netflix, Amazon. Well, Amazon Prime, if you have a Prime membership, like, that's one thing that's like, that's was smart, sort of. Well, is it though? Because, like, because it's not like people are paying extra to have Amazon Prime Video. No. So
yeah, Amazon's probably got to be losing the most with
that. Well, yeah, and then they drop, like, how much money on the Rings of Power, and no one watched it.
Yeah.
Now they're doing season two, and it.
Yeah.
I've heard it's having all kinds of, well, that one's going to be interesting. Did you watch the first season?
I don't think I ever clicked play on it.
I watched 5 minutes of the first episode. And I was done. Like, seriously, I just didn't want to watch it.
Yeah. That's crazy. But, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. Where was I at? Where do you think we'll be in like five years with streaming?
I don't know. It's going to do that where it's just going to turn into
back to what
cable TV. Yeah. Much. It's just going to. Like, these streaming services, people are just going to get sick of paying all this money for all these different streaming services. I think we're going to start hearing in 5 years.
And you're getting garbage
services
content.
Ending. Yeah, yeah. We're going to start hearing in 5 years streaming services shutting down, I think. Like, it's just inevitable with all these companies competing with one another. And they're going to just have to go back to like a company that has access to all the content and all these channels that will, you just pay that company to watch that content. And I mean, we're at a point like where, I mean, all these, like, we didn't used to have tons of ads in streaming, and now,
well, it's
overloaded with ads.
Now, like, you have to pay extra not to get no ads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're already going in that direction. Now Disney announcing that they're going to do that. And I think these streaming services, we're going to start hearing them coming to an end. And especially, like, with the writer's strike and actor strike that happened, was all because of streaming services.
Yeah, it was all streaming, yeah.
Because they weren't getting paid.
They weren't
for
the streaming services weren't releasing their numbers as far as viewership and, like, how much, like, money they're actually bringing in from these projects. So,
things are just going to have to start getting released to another company that you can watch their shows as they come out.
Yeah.
And it's just going to go back to how it was, because what they used to do is what worked. And yeah, Netflix kind of changed the game with streaming because it's easy and no ads, and you just pay this price and you have access to all of it. But that was when it was one streaming service. And now there's so many, and it's just,
remember the days when you would pay to have them send DVDs to your house. Blockbuster did it, and then Netflix came around. That's how Netflix started, I'm pretty sure. Is you could pick which movies you want to watch, and they'll send you a physical copy. By the way, physical media is always where it's at, and so I think it's always going to be where it's at. Like,
yeah,
I mean, like, you think of like bands, you know, with music, you know, obviously streaming's been the completely changed the game for them, but they go pretty heavy on, like, wanting people to, you know, hey, buy our CDs, buy our vinyls. Vinyls has come back, and every single band releases or singer releases their music on vinyl, and people love it and they buy it. And does it sound better? Probably not, but it's super. I mean, it does sound a little better, but it's super cool to have a vinyl copy of your favorite album, you know, or your favorite artist's album.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with, like, movies and stuff. It's like people are always going to love and enjoy physical media, and that's just where it's at. And I think it's always, I mean, but there's the convenience side. It's like, yes, it's convenient to be able to watch it on streaming. It's convenient to be able to stream your favorite music. It's convenient to be able to stream your favorite movie and TV show. But even on these streaming sites, the content that's actually getting a lot of views and people love watching is old content, you know?
Yeah.
Like the only reason that Peacock is even surviving is because of The Office and Parks and Rec. And, you know,
yeah, I know we're going through The Office right now on Peacock. Nice. And
are you watching the fan made I keep saying like the
they're like extended fan episodes. Service episode. No, we haven't because it's not all the episodes.
No,
so we'd have to like kind of like go through and figure out which one. So sure. No, we're just watching.
I think it's at least the first two seasons, like every episode. I'm pretty sure, but anyways,
maybe yeah.
I've watched most of them.
But yeah,
they're fun. Well, sorry. One thing that was interesting: Netflix. Like, I think the most popular show on Netflix last like month or 2 months ago was Suits, which is an older, like not that old, but it's a TV show that's ended, it's finished, that Netflix got, you know, was able to put on their platform, and it was the most popular show on their platform. Not all the new stuff that they're producing, not their original movies, not their original TV shows, but something that they didn't even produce that they have access to. That's just that's the name of the game because they can't produce good content anymore.
Yeah,
you know, they'll get a win with Stranger Things. They'll get a win with what was it, The Queen's Gambit that they did, Squid Games. That was huge. Uh-huh. But going back to like the, what's interesting about the, you know, the debate between the streaming and the week to week model or drop it all at once model is people, if you drop it all at once, then like people talk about it for like maybe 2 weeks. It's there's hype around it for maybe 2 weeks. If you release it every week and if it's good, then people are talking about it for months and it gets a lot of hype. Squid Games, they dropped it all at once. People talked about it for, let's say, a month, but that was it. If they would have dropped it every week and because it was that good, they would have been talking about it for 3 months and it gained a lot more popularity, got more viewers, got more subscribers and stuff. But
Summer Toys, stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah, I know for sure.
This was not what I was planning on talking about today.
Not at all.
It's kind of why I love the
Chronicles. It's great,
That's why I love the show.
Yeah. No, so like one of the reasons like I buy so much physical media is because if there's a movie that's not on streaming service, like, or one that I have access to, it's going to cost like $3 or $4 to rent.
Yeah.
But at like the thrift store, it's $1 to buy to buy a DVD. So I'm like, well, I could spend $3 to rent it and have it for 24 hours, or I could just buy it. And if it's good, hey, I still have it and I can just watch it whenever I want.
Right.
And that's kind of like where we are with these movies and how people distribute movies now. And it's just, that's just why like streaming services just won't last, because the average person can't stay up with every single streaming service
right,
they're going to fail.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you do want to support good content, you can subscribe to our Patreon and help us out in fighting this war against the mainstream media and watch good content. Big news here, we just released both of the movies that I've made onto our Patreon, so you can watch both Fettered and Stanton. With your subscription,
good
as
movies.
Well as you have access to all three of our podcasts, and we're working on making more content. Like, we're always trying to make more content for you guys, and $5 a month, it's way cheaper than your Netflix subscription, and you can have content that is glorifying to God, not content that mocks God. So if you want to help us out in our mission and our battle, you can support us there. And cancel your Netflix subscription. That's the bottom line to what we're saying, because streaming services do need to end. And I would love to get physical media distribution deals for my content. It's not easy at all, but hey, actually, you know, if you want physical media, contact me, and if I get enough, I could probably get you some physical media. I will make it myself. I did it with my first movie, Fettered.
Yep.
And I even have some left over, so if you want one, let me know, comment on our thing, subscribe, let us know. And if you want one for Stanton, I will see what I can do.
Signed copy?
Yeah, yeah, I can sign it for you guys if you want that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's okay. Cool, I have a signed copy.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so, I mean, kind of relating to streaming.
I remember I started talking about Knuckles, and I completely went off the rails.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Man. No, right. It's great.
Now, what were you going to say?
So, talking about streaming and bad content,
yeah.
The second season of Velma is getting its critical reviews back.
Goodness.
It's got a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. I do not know why they made a second season.
I think they had six lesbians in the first episode.
Something like that. So
Scrappy Doo was the bad guy, and he ate Velma. He ate the Velma from the original, or they had like two Velmas. One was like the original one, and as a symbolic reference to them making it very clear that they do not care about the source material, he kills and like brutally murders the original Velma, or something like that. That happened.
The white Velma.
The white Velma. Sure. They released it all at once, and it was awful. It's funny, Mindy Kaling. She's like, you know, producer.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was a writer, but she's involved heavily. She went completely silent when it was released. Like, even, what studio released it? Max. Yeah, Max.
Max.
Yeah. They go to their Twitter. I'm pretty sure they don't say anything about it. They don't talk about it. They don't. Mindy Kaling's is saying nothing about it. It's, they're embarrassed by it. They just said, hey, drop it, move on. But you're right. I'm surprised they did a second season because the first one was terrible and had terrible reviews as well. So.
Yeah. It's just hilarious. Speaking of... So, Deadpool 3, this is something you actually showed me, that Brie Larson and Tatiana, whatever her last name is, was supposed to have a cameo in Deadpool 3. And Ryan Reynolds is just like, no. Tatiana's like, she's like the She-Hulk character. So She-Hulk and Captain Marvel were supposed to have cameos in Deadpool 3, and Ryan Reynolds did not allow it.
You see, I kind of actually wish that they were awesome to hear, so that Deadpool can just make fun of them.
Yeah, I know.
There's so many jokes that they can do, and
for sure.
I mean, it kind of would have made sense because She-Hulk breaks the fourth wall and Deadpool breaks the fourth wall, and they could have.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sure that's why they wanted it. Board. And
he's like, nope. Yeah, because Ryan Reynolds has like a lot of creative control over, this movie, and so.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So yeah, that's it gives me hope for Deadpool 3 as a movie by itself, but like we said in our last episode. Like, Disney is, it's still a Disney movie. And
it's not going to fix anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's.
So there's a show called Knuckles.
Say on that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what were you going to say about Knuckles?
Which is, you know, Knuckles from the Sonic video game, Sonic movies. Yeah. He was introduced in Sonic 2. They made a TV show about Knuckles. It was literally just, it was about him. I mean, there was, I think Sonic and Tails were in like the first episode, and it's following Wade, who's the deputy in the movies, Sheriff James Morrison, whatever his name is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But Wade, James Morrison, he's off on like vacation or something. So Wade's taken over as sheriff, and you have Knuckles. He's trying to figure out who he is or where he came from, where he belongs, because he doesn't feel like he belongs. But then the show is like, ends up being about Wade. I'm turning this into a review. I actually wasn't meaning to do this. So anyways, it's supposed to be about Knuckles, but they actually make it about Wade. He's like literally the main character, and he drives the whole plot and the whole show. The thing I wanted to say about this is, one thing I realized when I was watching it is that people don't know how to make children's TV shows or movies anymore, because the adult characters in this show were so, they acted like 6-year-olds in the entire show, where they make decisions that 6 to 10-year-old children would make, and they act and like they have Wade. There's this whole plot thread with his sister, where Wade's like, you know, fighting with his sister all the time, but they fight like children. And but she's supposed to work for the FBI, which is really weird. They make these TV shows. They write them as if they're trying to talk to or explain or tell a story to a 6-year-old. And it's like, okay, that's fine, you know. So they make jokes that, you know, children will laugh at. They do dumb things, and that's okay. That's what it is. But they're having adults act like children, which is not, which is contrary to reality. Where like these adults, grown up adults are making decisions that children would make and saying things that children say, doing things that children do, and are just dumb. And it mm-hmm. it makes children think, oh, this is how adults would act, or this adult is acting like I would act. And so it's trying to connect with them or something. I don't know. It just gets really, but it happens all the time. I'm trying to, what other example? I think they do an okay job with the Sonic movies, where like the main character, like James Morrison and his wife, they act like adults. But then you have Wade, who acts like an idiot. But yeah, for the most part, I think it's fine. There's some jokes in the film that like even Jim Carrey makes. I'm like, okay, it's not. I mean, I get why they're trying to be funny, but I don't think it's that funny. And I guess kids can find it funny, sure.
Yeah.
But they dim down, like, you know, they try to make this, give the characters an IQ of nothing in order to make children laugh. I think my boys, I mean, they found it funny in some places, but most of the stuff that's funny was Sonic related and or Knuckles related, and they didn't really like find like the jokes that like or the things that Wade was doing is funny, because they probably think it's dumb. And they're,
yeah,
my little son's not even 5. But yeah, I'm trying to think of other examples. I've seen this so many times in like kids' movies and TV shows. Let's go back 10 years. Let's go back when we were kids. The content we watched. Toy Story. Even Shrek. I'm trying to think of other comedic
Lord of things. The Rings. Well, not comedy, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm thinking more like Lord of the Rings. Like, actually, like kids' like movies.
Yeah. Like kids' movies. But it just shows like... Like, we watched Lord of the Rings when we were super young, but we got the characters. We were inspired by the characters, you know? And it's like, it just shows that you don't have to have an idiot on the screen for the kid to understand what's going on.
Right. So, like Toy Story is a good example. Toy Story, if you don't realize this, like, the toys are adults. Like, Woody and Buzz are adults with adult problems, sort of. I mean, you have the conflict between Woody and Buzz throughout the first movie, and they're kind of bickering and like jealous of each Woody's jealous of Buzz and all that, so like, but it's adult, they're adult problems, and they're movies that like adults can watch and learn from and enjoy and see, and kids can watch and learn from and enjoy when they're actually watching adults playing toys. Finding Nemo, you're watching an adult fish, you know, throughout the film, two adult fish. I mean, Dory's an idiot. You know, that's the point. I mean, it's funny, but like Marlin, he makes, you know, decisions that a normal adult would make, but it's a kid's movie. Wall-E, you know, like Wall-E is a robot that is an adult robot character. He's not a kid, and he, you know, but he doesn't have to look like an idiot on screen for us to find it enjoyable or funny. And I'm saying Pixar, because Pixar, I think, is a good example of this, because you, like, yeah, Cars, yeah, for sure. Cars, those are all adult characters. There's no kids in the Cars, but it's a kid's movie. Mater, of course, is the comedic, you always have a comedic relief. Dory's the comedic relief in Finding Nemo. Mater's the comic relief in Cars. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have that, I guess you get that. I get that. Like, you have, like, one of... But they're not driving the story necessarily, and like we understand, okay, this is meant to be funny. But when every character is acting like a child when they're supposed to be acting like adults, then it just falls flat, and it's not good. It's not something I even want my kids to watch, because they're not learning anything about from this. Now, yes, in Knuckles there was a lesson that was learned, you know, where Wade needs to learn how to be brave and to step up and do the right thing when he doesn't want to, and like there was a lesson learned. But you have this character that's just acting like a child throughout the whole film, and he doesn't grow, he doesn't mature really, and so I just have a problem with that. I'm trying to think of other, like, even like live action related, like films and stuff that we watched as kids. Yeah. So, I know there are some, I'm just blanking, but my point is, I just don't remember that as a kid growing up, or even like thinking of movies that we watch as kids where it's like these, you have adult characters not acting like adults. Like, they always acted like adults. And, yeah. But, you know, if it was an animated movie, yes, it's there. You have like I said, like Toy Story or Finding Nemo or Cars, you know, and pick. I'm going to Pixar, of course. But you have, like, you know, the Iron Giant is a movie I recently watched that I absolutely love. One of my favorite films. The Iron Giant, you know, every adult character in that film acts like an adult. The robot, even, yeah, he in a sense acts like an adult. I mean, he's from another world and whatnot. But then you have the kid who acts like a kid, but has struggles, who has to learn things, mm-hmm. who has a story and has a journey that he goes on. And you don't have any, and it's fun. It's inspiring. It's quirky at some points, but it's never sitting there watching an adult act like a child. And so it's like, I think it's lying to kids when every adult character is acting like a child, and you're saying this is how adults should act or how they do act. It's like, no, that's not how they act.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah. Well, so I thought of one was Spy Kids, which is actually an interesting sure. one Spy because it's actually Kids. The kids are acting as adults, but the adults in the movie act as adults
yeah.
and have like adult problems and
right.
and deal with them. And we have like a married couple that are working together as a married couple
yep.
and working through their problems and their issues and
right.
Yeah,
exactly. And so it's just interesting that I've seen that a lot recently when it comes to kid, just as a parent, you know, as I watch this kind of stuff, like,
yeah.
And it's like, I would never have watched Knuckles if Rod wasn't big into Sonic. Rod loves Sonic. I like Sonic. I love the Sonic movies. The first two, they're fun. Can't wait for the third one. It's mm-hmm. coming out this year. Keanu Reeves. I don't know if we've talked about this. Keanu Reeves is going to be Shadow. I'm super
yeah,
excited.
Yeah, we talked about that. About it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it'll be fun. Yeah. I enjoy Jim Carrey in those films. I think he plays a good Dr. Eggman, Dr. Robotnik. It's mm-hmm. solid. And so, like, but like the Knuckles TV show, I could really care less. Idris Elba came back and did it, which I thought was cool. And
yeah,
but Knuckles was hardly in it. That was the problem. Maybe it's because they had the budget of a TV show, because they didn't want to, like, you know, CGI him as much. But he was hardly in the show, which was really annoying. Like, there were some episodes where he was in like one scene. It was six, and it was only a 6 episodes like series.
So. Yeah.
Anyways, there's that.
Yeah, for sure.
This whole episode has been about Knuckles technically, because that's what we started with.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Do you have anything else?
We got the first trailer for Mufasa, the Lion King.
Oh, I totally forgot. I haven't watched the trailer because I was gonna react to it and do a review.
Yeah.
I probably will still do that. I don't care. Like, what did you have?
Yeah, I know.
Did you see the Lion King, the live action one?
Yeah.
I didn't. I think
actually,
I watched half of it.
I saw it at a drive-in theater.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your opinion of the live action Lion King movie and them doing a prequel to it?
Yeah. Well, they're not even live action. They're just not animated films.
On Twitter just or
animated.
X.
In a different way.
The official like Disney site that posted the trailer.
Yeah.
There's a community notes tab that says not live action. Someone found it and said that. It's like the correct thing. That's hilarious. They said it's live action. It's not. So,
that's funny. Yeah, no, it's not live action. It is computer, and it's just weird because it's like we don't really see the emotions on these animals' faces because they're like just weird CGI animals, and it's
lifeless,
just weird,
like all of Disney.
Yeah, it's like watching a movie by like an AI. Like, it's just weird. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Kraven the Hunter got
Back. It got again. Delayed again.
I don't know if you saw that.
I forgot about that.
So it got pushed back to December. So now, as of now, it's the last Sony villain movie.
When's Venom 3 coming out?
October.
Oh, so it got bumped ahead. What are they doing?
So, well, Venom 3 stayed where it was.
Yeah.
This was supposed to come out in August, and then Venom 3, but now it's Venom 3 in December.
So is there going to be some kind of connection or something that they're going to cameo? Or I don't know.
I think they're just expecting this movie to be as bad as Madame Web.
Right.
I think that's what they're putting it up against.
Well, so we have Sonic 3 in December, Mufasa, which I hope Sonic 3 does so much better than Mufasa. So going back to Mufasa, it's just the first one, it made over $1 billion. I think it made 1.5, which is ridiculous. I don't know how in what world, how in the world it made that much money. I guess because it's Lion King. It's the name in and of itself. Yeah. They brought James Earl Jones back as Mufasa. It's a remake of The Lion King, the most beloved animated movie of all time. I kind of can get it. Like, okay, I understand why you make a live action of that, but it was just so lifeless and boring. I think I watched half of it, and I never finished it. I never will. I don't care. And then they decide to make a prequel that no one asked for, that no one cared about, no one wanted, and it's a prequel of about Mufasa and I guess Scar probably. Like I said, I've not seen the trailer, so I don't know. I don't care. Like, it's just like the rest of Disney. It's lifeless and boring. I don't know. So there's that.
No, I don't care for it, and I don't know why Sony pushes back, which is weird. So Sony announced all these changes, and yet the third Spider-Verse movie is nowhere to be found. We still don't have a release date for it.
It's supposed to be out already.
So I don't know what they're doing with that. I don't think they know what they're doing with it. Like,
it's just so weird. Like, the first two movies have done so well, and they've been huge. And people are excited.
I just don't get what Sony's
second thinking.
I think they're just under really poor management. I don't know.
Probably.
I think they just don't really care, because they're not even, I mean, well, Sony itself is not an American company, but Columbia Pictures is. But Columbia Pictures isn't related to the Marvel stuff, because that's all under Sony. So I don't know. I think they just don't really care about these movies, and I kind of feel like the CEO actually said something about not liking Marvel movies or something like that.
Yeah. So the CEO, CFO, you're right. He does not like superhero movies.
Yeah.
And so
they're putting out all these superhero movies that are just absolutely garbage. Awful.
And they're not giving they're giving very low budgets. They're not putting the right people behind them. And I'm still like baffled at what they're doing with Kraven. Like, Kraven, I've said this before, he's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Spider-Man villain. But one of my favorites. I've just always enjoyed him in the comics. They completely changed his character. They did Jonathan Taylor Thomas, speaking of Lion King, JTT played Simba in the animated film.
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor, or no, I'm mixing up all kinds of names.
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor, is that his name?
I think so.
Sure.
No.
No?
I don't know.
Whatever his name is. I think his name's Aaron. he doesn't fit the bill for me. Like, I don't see him as a good Kraven. Maybe a young Kraven, maybe, but why not just do an older...
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Why don't they just do a, you know, middle-aged Kraven straight from the comics?
Yeah.
Instead they do animal rights activist, I don't know, guy from...
Quicksilver. What country is he supposed to be from, too? Because he's not even, like, the
Africa.
Right...
Or not Africa. Wait. I can't remember.
But whatever it is, wherever he's from, like, the whatever work. Character Aaron Taylor Johnson is supposed to be is not from the same place, like, at all. He's supposed to have a really strong accent, and he doesn't have it. And and it just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. So,
and I think they know that, and I think that's why they're pushing it back. And then with Spider-Verse 3, like, I have no idea what they're doing, why they haven't
I don't understand why it's not announced. Coming out this
year. And it's not even announced when it's coming out, so it makes no sense. Like, it's their only movie they have that's going to make any money, and they're not even set to release any time. Like,
we have probably no idea saving when. It for 2025, which is going to have a lot of big superhero movies, like Fantastic Four. Are they releasing an Avengers that year? Superman Legacy. Well, now Superman. And there's a handful of
them. Yeah.
So. Marvel has a lot of projects. Yeah. You have Thunderbolts. You have Captain America 4, which is going to be terrible. And, anyways. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's whatever. Yeah. Another studio that just keeps failing.
Yeah. So... I don't know if you got anything else, but I was just going to tell them how we're going to be. So Acolyte starts coming out. That's going to be a week to week thing. And that comes out in like next month, right?
June, first week of June.
Okay. Yeah. And so we'll be reviewing that here. it'll be one of our segments. We're going to review each episode. We're going to watch it. Yeah. We're going to watch it. So you guys don't have to. Which is most of what we do. And so we will watch each episode each week. And the following week, you'll get your review. And so you guys can be ready for that next month. And
Speaking of Acolyte, I saw this tweet by someone on the X. The Twitter said, would you watch if Disney created a series called Lesbians in Space, whose showrunner was Harvey Weinstein's former personal assistant? Would you?
That's,
so the Acolyte. So, there's that. This
is so bad.
Oh, brother. Maybe it'll be surprisingly, shockingly good. Even this is the premise of it. I'm just not excited about it. We will review it and we will give you our honest opinions.
Yeah.
And see what they do with it.
We promise to make our podcast about the Acolyte more entertaining than Acolyte. So, listen to our. Episodes every week, and don't watch the show.
We'll watch it for you and tell you all about it.
Yeah,
and maybe
we will laugh at it.
Be a little more in one more of our segments,
and we will be hopefully far more entertaining than the actual show. Yeah. Speaking of segments, Trent, do you got one for us to kind of close out our show?
I do. Do you want to do our pick 1 through 5 and give a hot take, or do you want me to pick one of our just random questions?
Let's do another random question.
All right. What is your favorite Spider-Man suit? Live action Spider-Man suit.
Oh man. The one that Tom Holland wears at the end of No Way Home.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good yeah. one.
It's
I didn't yeah, even think about that one. It's a perfect
suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah. Okay. What about you?
So,
do you know?
Like Sam Raimi, you know, Tobey Maguire's suit, which I'm pretty sure he wears the same suit in all three films.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean, he wears the same suit. Slight differences.
It's just there's a lot of nostalgia with that one. I just as a kid, I always loved that suit. I always wanted to have that suit. I love the web, how it comes out, which is unique to all the suits and not even a comic book thing. But I just I love the look. You know, some people maybe be a little critical about the webs, but I think it's awesome. And so there's the Raimi suit that I love. Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit, I also love a lot. Like that one is almost perfect, and I think even more comic book accurate. I think like, I don't know. Those two are the ones that I compete with, and of course you have the Tom Holland one at the end, but we don't get like a whole lot with that. We get one scene.
Oh yeah, no.
So it's like I wish we could see a little more. And that one was a little bit too bright colored for me, like the blue, I think it was too much blue that I was like, eh. I loved it. I loved what they're doing, and I like it. It's like Tom Holland's Peter Parker. He made it by himself, so it's his own suit.
Yeah.
And this is you know street level Spider-Man, and you know not he doesn't have Tony Stark making him suits anymore. So I get like that one's really cool. So I don't like it's between those three.
Yeah.
I think because of the nostalgia, the Raimi suit is definitely number one for me, and. But like even like the eyes on the Amazing Spider-Man 2, those are so cool. And
I think that one's my second favorite is the Amazing Spider-Man 2 one. I love it. I love that one so much. Yeah. And
even like Amazing Spider-Man 1, like it's different in like I like how it's a little bit more like. Like, you know, he had, like, the eyes, like, he obviously made those, like, they're, like, sunglasses or something. Like, there's a little bit more of a grounded level, grounded feel, like, this, like, a little more believable that a teenager actually maybe made this.
And the whole spandex scene where he's just, like, spandex.
Yeah.
Everything's spandex.
I like that suit, too. And, yeah. I don't like any of the other Tom Holland suits, like, at all.
Oh, yeah. So I think the... Well, I like the one in
Far From
Homecoming.
Home. Oh, Homecoming.
The one in No Way Home, like, the one that he wears pretty prevalently throughout the film, I hate.
Yeah.
I don't like the Far From Home one with the black.
Really? Yeah, I don't like that one either.
I think the worst one is the one in No Way Home where he's got the mix of like the black suit and the nanotech. I hate that one so much. I think it's by far the worst one.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, I like the Homecoming one sort of. I
don't like the whole Tony Stark. Like,
yeah,
I just
that's
didn't
the thing.
Like that and
I really like
didn't make it
has gone on. I've come to dislike the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies more and more, to where like there's aspects of it that I like, but I think the whole Tony Stark thing, where you know his suits are all made for him, he has all these gadgets and whatnot. I think Homecoming has a lot more problems than I used to think. The Homecoming was really good. I don't think I like that film as much anymore. It just as a Spider-Man film, it does not work for me. They do things with the character that I just don't think they should have done with the Spider-Man. I like Vulture. I think Vulture is actually one of my favorite, like Michael Keaton's Vulture is one of my favorite villains. And I think he has really solid motivations and you know, pretty good. They tell a pretty good story.
His story, like being connected with Iron Man, should have been the only thing Iron Man should have been connected to in that film. Sure. Like, that worked. Like, yeah. his connection to Iron Man, that worked. But with Spider-Man and Peter Parker's connection to Spider-Man so prevalent and, like, in the suit and all that, it just didn't work.
Right, and it takes away the weight and the concern that we can have for the character, because we know yeah. that at any moment, Tony Stark can show up and save the day.
Yeah, and they made that clear in that movie. Like, yeah. it happens, like, I think at least twice. And yeah, maybe three times. And it's just, yeah, it definitely takes away the weight of him.
Which you're supposed to feel that with, like, Spider-Man.
When the fairy gets split in half, he gets saved. When he falls from the sky with the parachute, he gets saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's maybe one other time. I don't remember. But yeah, it's very distracting from the Spider-Man character for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the suit at the end of No Way Home, I think it's, if they make a full movie with that suit, mm-hmm. and they keep with the street level stuff.
Yes.
They don't go all crazy with the, yeah, they don't go all crazy with the multiverse again. And it's just street level Peter Parker, Kingpin, Daredevil. That sounds great to me.
Yes. I agree. Let's see it.
If they do a Spider-Man and Daredevil like they're doing Deadpool and Wolverine, that would be sick.
I would like that. That would
be sick.
And no multiverse.
Yeah.
No aliens coming to Earth. Just street level Spider-Man with Daredevil, yeah. Kingpin. That'd be so cool. It'd be good. I don't know if they'll do it.
But we know Marvel does not make good decisions.
No.
We know all they care about are the female characters and their agendas. So I don't think it'll ever happen. I think Spider-Man 4 is going to be a complete mess because of the fighting between Sony and Marvel and their different desires and their agendas. I just don't think they're capable of making a great film. Because even No Way Home, like, it was supposed to be a great film. It was a terrible film. Like, it had so many issues.
It was successful, though. You have to admit that. Like,
yeah. It made a lot of money, for sure.
It had a lot of hype.
No doubt.
That was the last time that there was a lot of hype around Marvel.
Yeah.
Ever since it's been downhill. So, like, it was Endgame, then No Way Home. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was really good, and...
Yeah.
Like, actually, I love that if they announced
a Spider-Man and Daredevil movie, that would bring the hype back.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, no doubt.
Well, that's the thing.
Because, like, if it's Spider-Man and Daredevil, we know it's going to be street level.
Going off of what you're saying and making your point, the only thing that No Way Home had going for it was the fact that it was a Spider-Man film, and they brought back the two Spider-Mans.
Yeah. They brought back all the Spider-Man, the villains, all that stuff. Yeah. No, for sure.
But that was it. And it wasn't a good movie. It wasn't a good story.
Yeah. It'll be remembered because they did something very historic with bringing back all the old characters. Like,
mm-hmm.
But people, I think, you know, if they're willing to look at it, they'd be willing to admit it's a very, very flawed movie. Even the very diehard fans of that movie. And that's what we want from our podcast, too, is for people to be able to look at movies like that that have so much hype, to be able to watch it and be like, wait, this isn't a good movie, though. Like, this mm-hmm. this tells a horrible story that makes no sense with so many plot holes.
Yeah.
It's not a good, coherent story, and this is not a story that even God would like. Like, it's just not, like, with... It just, it doesn't make any sense. Ugh, there's so many plot holes. I could get so far into all the plot holes.
Yeah, it's got issues. You know, just
the way we talked about, like, when we reviewed Spider-Man 2, we were talking about how, like, so he just went back and then drowned as a good guy instead of...
Doesn't make any
sense. But he already was a good guy, so...
Like, why did Tom Holland Spider-Man send him back? To do what? He still has to stop the sun from blowing up all of New York City.
He already redeemed himself.
Right. And they're taking away that redemption.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. It's so... I mean... sorry, I don't even want to think about it. Like, yeah, whatever. I think Endgame is another example of that where it had Endgame has a lot of really... a lot of issues, a lot of plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of hype around it. Like, that final fight scene was, I would say, incredible. You had... there's some aspects of it that wasn't... but, you had Thor, Captain America, you know, and getting Thor's hammer. Like, that was a monumental... That was a huge moment. There's a lot of hype around that. There's so many things about that. You know, bring everyone back. This culmination of... a whole decade of storytelling coming to fruition, coming to a conclusion and a climax and an end. It was awesome, but the story itself had a lot of issues in the time travel. There was a lot of plot holes. There was character decisions that didn't make very much sense, and Fat Thor. So it's like there's a lot of issues around that movie, but it made a lot of money and it came off of the hype of Infinity War, which was a good movie. Infinity War was a great movie, great story.
Mm-hmm.
But the Endgame, not so much, but there was so much hype around it at first that everyone said, oh yeah, Endgame's amazing. It's incredible. You know, it was a good conclusion. Like, Tony Stark's finale, his death was well handled for the most part. But it'll be interesting when we review it eventually and just talk about that and unpack that, because it was a big deal when it came out, but had some problems. So there's that. No Way Home is, like I said, that was the example. And there's a lot of hype around a film for bits and pieces in the film, but once you sit back and digest it and actually evaluate it and look through it, it's like, oh yeah, this has problems. So,
yeah, for sure.
Be discerning and careful about what you watch and what you consume.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's probably it, right? I don't know if you got anything else.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, we, as always, thank you again for listening. Thank you for your support. If you want to give us a little more support, head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros. And yeah, as always, just be mindful of what you're watching and let's destroy Hollywood together and bring up something that's good and glorifies God and watch good movies. Thank you. Bye.
Yep. See ya.